Praise God, he's there for us every single step of our way. What would we do without him? What could we do without him? Nothing. We would be hopeless and lost without the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, if you would, please. Matthew 13. We're just going to talk about something and just entitled, It Will Cost You Something. And, some people have no idea or concept of value. You can always talk to kids. They're the ones usually that don't have a much clue about a value of something. You can show them an old toy that meant something to you or something, and think, well, they'll look at it and say, oh, that's just one of those old toys you used to play with, Dad. That's nothing. Well, some of those things are worth a whole lot of money, but those kids don't know that when they look at it. They just think it's an old toy. I can't even say that. I'm going to move on to something else. So when you don't understand what you have, you don't know what the value of it is. If you've heard many, many stories, I'm not going to tell you all those stories, but you've heard about the stories about people who bought paintings and portraits, and they bought other things, and they didn't realize, and you got at a garage sale or something, and meant something to them, but no one else liked it. And come to find out later, they was worth a whole lot of money. And sometimes you don't know what you might have until someone places a value on it. Said, "Wow, that was worth more than I thought." Sometimes that can happen even in our own lives when we take for granted our husbands or our wives or our children or our homes or our jobs or whatever God has given us, even our own health. Sometimes we take it for granted until it's gone, and then all of a sudden we wonder what happened, and we realize that there was some value to that, what God gave me. Maybe your husband or wife was more valuable than you thought. You won't know it until they're gone. Maybe your people that you, your church that you worship with was great, and you didn't really appreciate it until it was gone. Maybe you didn't appreciate the value that you had with your job or with your health until it was taken away. And all of a sudden, you're the one in ICU for months and months that no one can contact, and all we can do is pray for. And maybe you'll take for granted sometimes that what we got, because you don't know the value of it. What God wants us to know, there's some value to some things in our life that are more than just temporal, they're eternal. In Matthew chapter 13, he gives us a quick glimpse of that in a parable, two parables he mentions here in verse 44 through 46. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. There's two things that you can see right quick. They're not what the notes are, but just to point out that something was done here. Each time this person found a treasure, he realized that there was something in that field. He realized that pearl was worth something, and he thought it was of great value enough to go and sell everything that he had to purchase it. It cost him something. It cost him something to receive something that was extremely valuable to him, more than what it was costing him. He was willing to sell everything that he had to go buy this one pearl or this one field, because he realized what that treasure was, and realized that all that he had didn't even measure up to what that treasure was. The treasure was worth more to him than everything that he ever had in his life, and he sold it all just so he could possess that one treasure. It cost him something, but it was valuable. It was important. It was worth doing it. And God shows us in the scriptures, we're going to point out just three areas that we should treasure in our life. It may cost us something, but it's worth it in the end. The first one we know in John 3:7, he says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." The Bible tells us that our salvation is a treasure worth having. Our salvation is something that we should treasure and realize what we have is extremely valuable. And you may not realize it unless it's gone. Now, the Bible tells us that we cannot lose our salvation, but we can definitely lose the feeling of our salvation. We can definitely lose the meaning of our salvation when all of a sudden we forget the fact that God gave his life for us, that we could have everlasting life and be with him for all eternity. We may forget the fact that that salvation is the most important thing in our life. And it's worth giving up everything just to have salvation. Now, we know we don't have to pay for salvation. Praise God. We wouldn't have enough money anyway. We wouldn't have enough good deeds to pay for our salvation. It doesn't matter how good you are, you can never pay for your salvation. You don't have enough to cover that cost. But God says salvation is free. And after salvation, it's very easy for us to forget the treasure that we have. We can forget how important it is and how great it is. Some people without salvation today don't want to hear it because they're so caught up in their treasures of life, looking at their drugs and their drinking and their partying and all the things that they do in this life, and think that that's important and that's what's great about life, and I'm just going to live life until I die, until they die. They find out it was all worth nothing. Everything they thought they had was nothing in this world. It all burned up. There is no value of it at all. But God tells us there's a great value in salvation. Some think it's foolish for us to have it, but we see the actual cost. And we may look at that and say, what will it cost you to have salvation? Nothing. But what will it cost you if you have salvation? Well, if you get saved, if you trust Christ as your Savior, it could cost you all your friends. Because when you become a believer, whether you're young or old, when you become a believer, there's some of your friends that used to be close to you that won't come close to you ever again. It's like you got the plague. You got a disease and they don't want it on him. They're not going to call you no more. They're not going to contact you anymore. And sometimes people that want salvation can't deal with the fact that it may cost them their friends. Their friends seem to be more important to them than being with God for all eternity and having forgiveness. But God says if you're going to have salvation, it may cost you something. It may cost you your friends. It also may cost you your family. Jesus told us that also in the scriptures. He tells us, your mom and dad, your mom's outside, your brothers are outside. He says, no, my family's right here. These are my brothers and sisters. This is my family. And God's telling us your family has changed when you become a Christian. Now, I hope your physical family gets saved too. Then you can have both the best of both worlds. You got your physical family and you got your spiritual family, and you're going to be with them forever and ever. But if your physical family doesn't get saved, you still have a spiritual family that cannot be cut off. You'll never lose your spiritual family. They're going to be with you forever and ever. And that's the blessing. But the Bible tells us that if we have salvation, it may cost us not only our friends, but it may cost us our family. You may have to turn your back on somebody. I remember when I got saved, and then later I went to a church, and a Baptist church, and I heard what I think was a gospel really for the first time, even though I was already saved through some tracts and things that people gave me. I went to that church, and I saw this guy just, his face was all beet red, and he was spitting out all kind of stuff, and I couldn't believe it. Being the religious background I had, I was going, what in the world is this going on here? I don't know why I liked it, though. I mean, this guy was going to town preaching. And I don't know why when I showed up, I said, that's what I tell people when I come here, even for them different backgrounds and religion and stuff. I said, it doesn't matter what background they come, they're either going to like it or they're not going to like it. Yeah, exactly. Depends on how they receive this call of the Spirit. And because I would knew that Jesus died for my sins, and I was saved based on the testimonies and the, you know, witnessing people were doing to me at that. When I went to that church, that was the craziest thing I've ever seen, but I loved it. I said, I don't know what this guy's doing, but he is firing me up right now. And he was preaching the gospel. And then after the service ended, I went to go get baptized. And none of my friends or girlfriend at that time knew that I was going to be baptized, my fiance, that I was going to be baptized. I just showed up because at that church you could go in and just be baptized every week. And so I was at, and they saw me up top. The big old, it was a church that had been, their baptistry was way up in the sky. I don't know how they got water in it, but it was way up there. And everybody could see me. And I was the happiest camper in my life. I didn't know what, you know, and that's why we teach people about baptism. But I had no idea what baptism meant or anything. All I knew is it was, I had to do it. I knew I had to get baptized. So I got baptized. I walk out. We're leaving the service. I'm going out to my car. And then there's a religious symbol taped to my windshield. And I knew who it was from. My mom. My mom followed me and realized I went to this Baptist church against the rules of that religion. And she wanted to know that she was there. And I had a choice to make. I could go back home and tell her, you know, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm coming to church with you Sunday. I shouldn't have done what I did. Or I could realize it's going to cost me maybe my mom, but it's better for me to stay with Jesus. And I went home. I said, Mom, I got baptized today in a Baptist church. She almost had a heart attack and died right there in front of me. We were supposed to get married 2 weeks later. And so here comes all the fiery words about, I'm not going to your wedding. I'm not going to be, I'm not paying for nothing. Blah, blah, blah. And it just went on and on and on. All I did was smile. And in my heart, I said, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I don't care. I tell you, Mom, you know how guys are. I said, Mom, I'd love you to show up. But if you don't show up, you don't show up. That's, we're getting married. So nice knowing you. But I was willing to give up my family for salvation, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's going to cost me to have salvation, but I feel like it was worth it and still feel like it's worth it. I don't care if it costs me my friends on Facebook or anything else, because I love Jesus, and I don't care if they love Jesus or not. I love Jesus, and I'm staying with Jesus. It may cost me my friends. It may cost me my family. It may even cost you your future to have salvation. It cost me. I tell you that story over and over again. I'm going to keep telling it because it's part of my testimony. I was going to college. I was going to be a big-time lawyer. I'm going to sue the pants off of every Puerto Rican I could find. Now, I'm only saying that because she came in. Those people watched on Facebook. What? What are you saying about Puerto Ricans? I'm saying it because she's right behind me. Don't freak out. I don't care who they were. I was just going to make big time money. I was going to live in a big house. I was going to have everything I ever wanted. I had it all planned out. I just didn't count on Jesus saving my soul. That was the one thing I didn't count on. And praise God. He changed my future. And then he called me to preach, and I told you that story too. I remember the church I was at when he called me to preach, and I went forward to give my life to Christ and surrender to the Lord. I don't know why you want me to preach, and I don't know why you want me to preach, be a preacher. I know that's what you want me to do, and I'm going to surrender to you, Lord, but I don't want to be poor. I told the Lord that. I said, I don't want to be poor. I mean, in my head, in my thoughts, I was still thinking the same way I was thinking before, after salvation. I just want to make some money. I don't want to be poor. Preachers are poor. I don't want to live like that. God said, I'll take care of it. And he's taken care of it ever since. He let me be dirt poor in college just to teach me a few lessons and get my heart right with him. But then you know, that's how God is. He just does that. But he shows you that salvation is a treasure you need to have But if you possess it, you're going to have to sell everything you are to have it. You cannot say, I want salvation, and yet I'm still good enough to make it to heaven. No, you got to sell that stuff. It's not your good works. It's not your religion. It's not how you grew up. It's not what home you were born in. It's you either have Jesus and humble yourself before him and give it all up to him, or you don't have salvation. It's him or nothing. And God says he's worth having. It's worth giving everything up to have him. But God tells us real quick, like, two other things in his word. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is powerful. And the word of God is a treasure that God has given us, and it's worth possessing. Well, we know through the scriptures that the word of God is our instruction manual. It's our improvement manual. It's our inspirational manual. It tells us everything we need to know about God. And we say, well, that should be enough. Well, it never is, because if it doesn't cost you something, you don't have it. Now, I'm not talking about $3.99 online. You can get a pew Bible. And that's not the cost I'm talking about. Having the word of God and living the word of God are two different things. Because if you start living the word of God, it is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a lot to live like the Christian God wants us to live like. We can always live like everybody else. We're still a Christian. We still got our name written down in glory. We still know we're saved. But we can still live like the world if we want. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to live like his word. One person told me this story I thought was fabulous. He said, the word of God, in actuality, in the many things that it is, and it is a lot of things to us, you can sum it up to this. It's a love letter. You know, when I was in the military, when I first went in the basic training, I used to write letters to my wife. You know, all the kids, most of the kids next door, and some of the kids, they wouldn't even know what a letter was. You mean you send them an email, a text, an Instagram? No, a letter. I wrote it down on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope with a stamp, and mailed it. I used to mail these letters to my wife, because we were just married a few months before I went into the Air Force. And so when they gave us time, I would mail her the letters, because there's no other way they let you communicate with them other than letters. And so we'd send them a letter. Well, she kept all them letters. They were so corny and stupid. I read some of them now and say, oh, man. I was really going through basic. I could tell I was reading this letter. My mind was fried. But she would get those letters and she would keep every single one of them, and she'd share them with everybody in the house and everybody over there. And just, you know, a shaved head, the pictures I sent her. She would send me letters back, and I would keep those, and that's how we communicate. But, you know, she loved waiting to get one of those letters in the mail and hoping that she would get it the next day or the next day or the next day, waiting to get it. And once she got it, she couldn't wait to read it. And when she read it, she couldn't wait to save it and keep it forever. And she still has them because it's a personal love letter. Now, I sent Well a letter before, and he didn't care. He doesn't still have that letter I sent to Well. Doesn't mean the same thing to him. It's in his underwear drawer. Amen. But he didn't. It doesn't mean anything to him. But it means something to her, because I wrote it personally to her, not just to everybody, just to her. Had her name on it. You know, I tell people, especially young people, take the Bible and at the very front of it, write to Jessica, to Amanda, to Jonathan, in the beginning, God created. And then at the very end, Revelation, write love Jesus. and you read his love letter. And you'll figure out how much he really does love you. And you'll realize it's a personal love letter to you. Not just to everybody. It has your name there. Your name's written in the book of glory. Your name is in the book. He wrote it to you. It's your letter. And it's going to cost you something to live by his letter. The word of God's going to cost you something, but it's worth it. And then, just quickly, we kind of talked about this last week when we mentioned it again. Matthew 16:18, I read you that verse. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We kind of talked about why it doesn't work sometimes in some churches, but God made that promise. And we have to realize that the church is a treasure. It is. Jesus created the church. He gave his life for the church. He's the head of the church. He obviously cared about the church and gave it to us to be a treasure. And yet sometimes we don't see the value in the church, just like we don't see the value in the Word of God. And maybe we forget about the value we have in salvation. And sometimes we forget that it's a treasure. And if it's a treasure, we should sell everything to have it, to possess it. But we don't see it that way. Sometimes we see church as just an obstacle, or it's something that we're an obligation. Oh, it's Christmas, we got to go to church. It's Easter, we got to go to church. Sometimes we might even say it's Sunday, we need to go to church. But we won't say it on Wednesday or something else. And so we don't see the value sometimes. We forget that God sees the church as so valuable that he gave his life for it, it tells us in Ephesians 25. Jesus gave his life for the church. He knows it's important to us. He knows we need to have it. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to come to church, because you're going to have to get ready. You're going to have to get everybody else ready. You're going to have to get the kids ready. You're going to have gas in the car. You're going to have extra time when you're not working. You actually have time to come to church. You're actually going to, it's going to cost you maybe other things, activities that you could be involved in, but you're not, because you're going to church instead. It's going to cost you to buy maybe another shirt or blouse or something like that to wear to church. It may cost you time because, oh, we're having fellowship after church. We're going to eat some of the famous cake that Marie makes, and you're supposed to make some cake, by the way, and then or some banana pudding, or it's going to cost time to make that, and then you got to bring it up here, and then everybody eats it, and they're not really satisfied. Well, I had better. Shut up. Everybody's got to gripe about something, and then and you spend all that. It costs you money. It costs you effort. A lot of people put a lot of effort into our revival and Thanksgiving celebration we had in May. It costs money. It costs time. You had to come clean up. You had to tear down. You had to take the dishes out and trash. And it's just a lot of work, but it's a treasure worth having. The church is a treasure worth having and supporting. Yeah, it's going to cost us something, but if it doesn't, it's not worth it. They think, well, I can give you this for free, or I can charge you for it. If you know it's worth something, you don't mind selling it all to get it, because you see the value. If this man in the parable saw the value of the treasure that was hidden in the field, he saw the value of that one pearl of great price, so it says he sold it all and bought just that one pearl because he knew how valuable it was. And what are you willing to pay, or what cost is it going to be for you to see the value in the church that God gave his life for? What is it going to cost you? Because if it doesn't cost you anything, you might as well just go to HEB or Walmart. You can stroll around there and shop and never buy anything. It won't cost you a dime. But God says it's going to cost you to make the church a treasure, but it is a treasure. It's worth having. It's worth being part of your everyday life. Church is what I gave you to help you out so you can help others out. And God wants us to be part of the church. Are you willing to give it up? What's it going to cost you? And God tells us the church is a treasure. The Word of God is a treasure. And salvation is a treasure. but we just may not see it. We may not see the value. Oh, we forgot how valuable it was. And God says, no, don't forget me. Don't forget my word. Don't forget what I've done for you. It's a treasure that you possess. And you should rejoice in the treasures that you have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer just for a few moments and ask God to help us this morning. We thank the Lord for his word and for what he's speaking to us about. But I know God, through his love letter, that he speaks to us every one of us differently and gives us a different message and a word. It's something different. He may be speaking to you about what he wants you to do. Maybe it's just surrendering to the Lord and his work. Maybe it's just calling out on him and asking for help in your time of need. You're going through some things that you don't know how it's going to work out, but God does. God knows how everything's going to work out. But he wants you to understand it and believe it yourself. He knows the answer, but he wants you to seek after it. That's why he says ask and knock and seek. He wants you to do something to get the answer. Because he knows what the answer is, but he wants you to believe it. He wants you to see it for yourself. And so maybe you want to come to God today and ask him, Lord, I got a question, I got a problem, I got a situation, I got something I think you want me to do. And just ask God, what do you have you do today? Whatever it is, just be real with God and let him have his way. As we pray, Father, thank you for the time we have here today. I ask that you'll bless us and help us and keep us safe and protected. Show us your will, Lord, and help us to follow it today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever need you have, if you'd like to come to the altar and pray and ask God to help you, step out and let God have his way right now.